Hi, Jen.
Jen Powers. How are you doing?
Good, thanks. And you?
Good, thank you. I see folks are joining. We have a small class today, so that's good. Get some individual attention. I see Brenda's on the call, and who else?
Felicia.
Hey, Felicia.
Hey, Jen.
How are you?
I'm wonderful. How are you?
Good. Felicia, have you been in a class of mine?
No. This is my first time, and I'm excited.
Oh, good. Okay, great. Welcome.
Thank you so much. I apologize for shortening your name, too. It's a habit because one of my dear friends, her name is Jennifer, and I always say Jen. I apologize, though.
Oh, yeah, everyone calls me Jen.
Oh, okay. I didn't want to be rude and, you know.
No, that's okay.
Give you a nickname. Okay.
Well, let's see. Okay, Felicia, I don't have you on my roster, so let me put you. What's your last name?
Keaton, K-E-A-T-O-N.
Okay.
I just signed up, like, maybe 30 minutes ago. So.
Oh, okay. So let me get your email address because I'm going to need to send you the doc. Go ahead.
It's Phil, P-H-I-L, Keaton, mm-hmm. K-E-A-T-O-N, @yahoo.com.
And that's Phil with a P? P like Peter?
Yeah, Phil, P-H-I-L.
Yeah, Keaton, too, @yahoo.com. Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
I'm going to send that. Brenda, did you get the handout, honey?
Sorry, I didn't say
get the workbook? Did you get the workbook?
I've got this. Thank you.
Welcome. And Felicia, do you have access to your email right now?
I do.
Okay, good. So I just sent that to you. Let me see who else has joined us. Okay. All right, so see if you got that. And then we should have about 8 of you on the call, and I just want to give it another minute, see who joins, and then we'll get started. Let me know, Felicia, when you download that workbook.
Okay.
Thanks. Okay, so let's see. All right, well, I'm going to go ahead and get started. I want to welcome you to How to Build Your Biz, How to Fill Your Practice with Public Speaking. Hello, who just joined?
This is Peggy Borgeson.
Hi, Peggy. How you doing? It's Jen Powers here.
Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you, Peggy. You just signed up, too, it looks like.
Yes, I did.
Okay, what's your email address, please?
That would be P as in Peggy, B as in boy, O-R-J-E @gmail.com.
Thank you. Are you near your computer?
I am.
Okay. I'm going to send you a document that you'll use for the class.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. Hmm. Okay, you have that. You should have that in your inbox in a second. Thank you. All right, well, hopefully the others are just going to find their way here. I'm assuming they will. Let me just go around and let me ask you guys if you do want to share, what is your motivation to be in this class? Let me hear real quick, because there's only a few of you on the line, so we can do a quick round the room. What's your motivation?
Well, this is Felicia. I'll go first.
Yeah.
My motivation is, well, with my coaching business, I will be doing a lot of public speaking.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I really feel like, you know, I'm always learning and I just want to learn, you know. I want to see what
yeah.
you have to say. And, you know, I brush up on my skills. I used to do a lot of, you know, speaking in another life, so. But, you know, I'm sure I'm rusty, so.
Yeah.
Something said to go ahead and sign up, so I did.
Good. Okay. Good, good, good. Thank you. Who else?
Jean, it's Brenda.
Yeah.
And I'm just coming in with an open mind just because, in fact, I'm not comfortable in doing public speaking. And I just want to expose myself to whatever I can to improve it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Good, good, good. And that you will. Great. Thank you. And Peggy?
I left my 28-year job in human resources and about a year ago decided to start my own coaching business. So have been through lots of training, working on a master's in leadership coaching, and I really want to get more in tune with how to gain clients through public speaking or using other tools that are available to be able to build a client base.
Good. Good, good, good. Okay. Excellent. That we can also cover in this. So we're going to meet twice. This is the first class, and we'll meet for a couple hours today, and then we'll come back next Tuesday at the same time, same channel, and we'll do another 2 hours. So in your workbook, you have, it's part one and part two, and it's divided up. But it's possible if you can print that out, it's going to be something that it's, you know, you're going to want to work in. So I encourage you to, you know, if possible, print it out and have a pen ready so that you can actually do the work in class. And again, although now that's 9 people that signed up, I feel like we're really lucky to only have the 3 of you on the call right now, and the others are going to listen to it recorded. So welcome to all of you who are listening to the recording. Let's jump in. What we're going to cover, and I'm reading off of the first page of the workbook, we're going to talk about public speaking and how to use it as a marketing tool and revenue stream, because it really is the best for coaches. And I'll talk more about my experience and how that looks. Then we're going to look at your personal goals for speaking. We're going to look at why you intend to speak and what you want to get out of it. We'll capture your ideal audience. We'll look at different types of speaking opportunities in your community and at different levels of expertise, kind of like a roadmap, if you will. And then we'll talk about how to get started, because a lot of people have that question, or some people are already started and they want to know how to get at the next level. And then in as a continuation, we will help you choose a topic, a title, and a length for your talks. You'll actually walk away with not only an idea and a concept for your speech, but you will walk away with a formula that you can apply, that it's something that I use all the time to write speeches, so that you can use it again for any future speech that you are going to write. And then we're going to talk about how to keep your audience engaged, because that is in today's world, something that's really important in terms of being a desirable speaker. There's just too many distractions now, so we got to get extra creative. Okay, so may I just start to say that public speaking is, you guys, it's going to be for you a really, really great. Can you guys star six because I'm hearing some feedback? Thank you. Star six. I think there's one more.
So what did you ask us to pick star six, Jane?
Yeah.
Okay. We got.
Just see if we can clear the line. And then when you want to talk, I'll tell you to star six again. Okay, welcome to, who is from, is it Deb from Corpus Christi, Texas? I see she's on the line. Welcome, is that Deb? Deborah?
Hello? Yes, hi, this is Deborah, thank you.
Hi, Deborah, welcome. We're just getting started. You want to print out your notebook or at least open it up, have it at the ready. So public speaking as a marketing tool is your best. And the reason, one of your best tools, it's not the only tool, it just happens to be a really good one. And the reason for that is so many. There's a level of credibility that you want to build as a coach, and you want to build it as quickly and as easily as possible. And there's something really amazing about getting on a speaking platform or in front of a room, in front of an audience, that gives you that immediate credibility. You know what I'm saying? When you get up in front of a room, or when you see someone getting up in front of the room, you just immediately think they are, I don't know, like an expert, or else how would they get up there, right? So becoming credible and putting yourself in that expert status is really important, and speaking is a direct beeline to getting there. So you're going to build credibility, you're going to build visibility. In other words, you're going to be in front of masses of people as opposed to one-on-one. I'm not talking like thousands at once. I'm talking, you know, as opposed to sitting down and impressing someone in a one-on-one coffee chat. You're going to have the opportunity to do that in front of 15 or 20 or 30 people at a time. And you're also going to increase likability, right? Because people have to know, like, and trust you if they're going to hire you for something as intimate as coaching them, right? So that likability can easily be covered in the speaking realm. So public speaking as a marketing tool is excellent, but it's also great as a revenue stream, you guys. There is actually money to be made in public speaking. And you might know this, but a lot of coaches only consider it as a potential marketing tool, but they fail to realize that there is a lot of profits that can be made. So if you choose, and we'll talk about what your goal is in just a second, but if you choose to, you can create another, what I like to call, revenue stream from your speaking. It's a very well-paid profession or activity, if you will, and it's something that can complement the income that you're bringing in the coaching world. So, for example, for the last 11 years, I started out as a speaker, and then a year later, I incorporated my coaching. Well, for the past 11 years, I have been either, you know, sometimes my practice and revenue is made up of 50% coaching, 50% speaking. Sometimes it's 70% coaching revenue, 30% speaking. In any given quarter, it could be the reverse, where it's 30% comes from my coaching, right? 30% of my income comes from coaching, but 70% might come from speaking, right? Because I sort of split my efforts. And I like that so much for two reasons. One, I'm not relying fully on coaching to fill my pocketbook. But two, one feeds into the other. So a lot of my coaching clients have come from audiences that I've spoken to. And I'm going to teach you how to do that, how to make that really, really possible. And they also, audience members are also people who have referred me to not only others to be coached, but others for me to speak to their group. So it's just like this beautiful, synergistic combination, right? It's kind of like peanut butter and jelly to me. It's like one just like feeds the other and vice versa. So if you can imagine, as you begin to think about what your goals are for speaking, I want you to consider and check all that apply. Building credibility and visibility, as we talked about, to get in front of large groups of your target audience is specifically to market yourself, right? You don't need to be making money. You count that as a marketing effort. Establishing and maintaining likability, again, marketing yourself. However, showcasing your coaching, consulting, or professional skill sets during the talk is not only to market yourself, but also the additional services that you offer to people. So you can go up there and speak, or you can speak and simultaneously insert, showcase your coaching skills right on the spot. Very powerful. And again, we'll talk about that. So you're introducing them to what else you can offer. Then there's the goal of marketing yourself and your services while also creating that revenue stream that I talked about to supplement or complement your coaching fees, right? And then, of course, there's the typical, very common goal of you just want to inspire people by getting your message out. So I want you to check those that apply, and there can be all, some, one, but I want you to be really honest about your about this for yourself, because here's the thing. You can be a coach that speaks, or you can be a speaker that coaches, right? Or yeah, so it kind of depends on some, you know, the crowd that you're talking to. Sometimes if you're if you decide to be a coach that speaks, let's say you're in a networking meeting and there's a speaker up there, because most networking meetings do have guest speakers. And you say to yourself, this isn't my ideal target audience. I sure would like to speak in the front of the room and build likability and credibility to my target audience and maybe showcase my coaching skills. I'm going to ask if I can get on the roster and what I need to do to be considered as a speaker. In that moment, when you go to that person, you present yourself either as a coach that speaks, which in other words would be someone who wants to speak for marketing purposes of your coaching practice, or you can present yourself as a speaker that is also a coach. Now it's sort of like, I'm interested in marketing myself and my coaching, but I also have a revenue stream, or this is a form of income for me. In other words, I'm going to charge for it. So do you see the difference? Star 6, I want to hear from you guys in this distinction. Star 6 to unmute. There's a distinction between how you're going to position yourself out into the world. What are you thinking? Are you just going to use speaking to use as a marketing tool, or do you want to get paid for it? Give me your thoughts.
This is Felicia. I mean, I would love to be the speaker that coaches.
Okay. So you're thinking of getting money for speaking, having speaking as a revenue stream.
Yes.
And coaching as a revenue stream.
Yes.
Good. And of course, what's that?
And I was going to say primarily the speaking, because I really would like to do speaking in workshops.
Okay, good. But you also want to have one-on-one clients?
Yes.
For coaching? Yeah. So that speaking, those speaking in workshops are a perfect playing field to enroll, right, to be known, liked, and trust, right, known, liked, and trust, and then to enroll people from those audiences into your coaching practice. Brilliant. And you'll get paid for speaking. So that's great. Who else?
Jen, it's Brenda.
Uh-huh.
And, I ticked all of these, but then I double-starred the last one, which was to inspire people by getting your message out. I think
yep.
That would be my strongest motivation. That
mm-hmm.
It's very attractive to me to think I can get paid for this as well, because I think I need that revenue. So, yes, I almost want to have it all,
Yep.
But the most important thing for me is that I would inspire people by doing that, by becoming a good coach and a good
Good. Teacher. Good, good. So then for someone like you, Brenda, you might start out as a coach that speaks, and then when you feel you're starting to feel more confident and you really have honed your message, then you might start incorporating like a fee, right, and charging a fee for your speaking. So you can easily, you know, you can gradually work your way up to a fee, right? What I want to point out to you guys is that there's no one formula. You can be anything you want to be, but be clear about who you are, right? So that when you do show up and or someone asks you, do you speak? And you say, yes, I do. It's actually one of my revenue streams. You know, or you can say, yes, I do, to market my coaching services. Would that be a good fit? Yes, I do, and I charge a fee. What is your budget? You know what I'm saying? Like, be clear about who you are so that when you're presenting yourself or being approached, you can make that clear to them.
Thank you.
Questions? Yeah, questions on that. Okay, star 6 is to mute. Welcome, Michelle. I see you joined us. Star 6 is to mute, and star 6 will unmute you as well. Okay? It's important you guys get that distinction so that as you move forward, you can find the speaking opportunities that meet your goal. And we'll talk about those speaking opportunities in a little bit, but you'll see how it's really important that goal is foundational so that when you go after those opportunities, they're a good fit. Okay? All right. Fair enough. Moving on, when you set out to speak, there is one very important, vitally important aspect you must know, and that is, who is your perfect audience? Who do you want to speak to? And I know it sounds like, I'll speak to anyone who will listen, or I'll speak to anyone who has a pulse. Not your best strategy. And here's why. If you're speaking either for marketing or for money, you want to hit the right audience. If you're speaking for marketing, you want to speak to those groups that are in your coaching target market. So if you're after financial advisors, right, if you coach financial advisors, then you want to speak to the Association of Financial Advisors in your community or at the national level. What you don't want to speak to is stay-at-home moms. So when the local daycare calls you and says, oh, I hear you're a coach, can you come speak to our moms, whatever, you can say, no, that's not my target audience, right? So you can be real clear. But the second thing is to really understand how to, like, land that topic. You want to know who your ideal audience is so that the content is appropriate, so the content is rich, so the examples are correct. And when all of that is good, then you can feel confident charging a fee. If you're just speaking to anyone and your message isn't consistent with that or appropriate for that target audience, your value is going to go down, that I can assure you. So it's important to know your ideal audience and to really keep that front and center when you're agreeing to gigs. That doesn't mean that in the beginning you're not going to speak to everyone and anyone, like the Rotary Club or the Chamber of Commerce, to get your feet wet because they need speakers like they need water, right? But eventually when you take this serious and you've really got clarity around your message and who your niche market is, you really want to stay within that realm. Okay, so I'm going to ask you to do some quick finagle in here, really do the work. What is the gender of your ideal audience? What's the gender makeup? Is it mostly men? Is it mostly women? What's the percentage of both? Take a second. Write them down. What percentage of men? What percentage of women? How old are they? What is their age range? Ideally. What's their profession like? What do they do? Are they students? Are they professionals? Are they entrepreneurs? Are they stay-at-home moms? Are they retired people? Are they mid-level managers? You know, this sort of thing. Financial advisors. And with all of that in mind, what are their interests? Like, specifically, what are they interested in learning, hearing, understanding, mastering? Like, what do they really want to know? Do they want to grow their business? Do they want to know how to get more clients? Do they want to know how to find more life balance? Do they want to communicate better? Do they want to learn coaching skills? Do they want to be better leaders? What are their interests? Are they interested in improving their parenting? See what I'm saying? And then what's their socioeconomic class? Because again, where you find them will, this will be important to know in order to find that ideal audience and to speak to them. Are they lower? Are they middle? Are they upper middle? Are they upper? Is there a combination of those? Who wants to give me a quick profile based on these, this short survey here? Who wants to give me a quick profile of their ideal audience?
Janet's Brenda.
Yeah, Brenda.
It's very limited.
What'd you come up with?
It's very limited, but basically, I've said I would like my audience to be both male and men and women, so about 30% of men and 70% of women.
Okay.
Between ages of 45 and 75, so actually mature adults.
Yeah.
And I think I can see I keep writing the same thing, so it's really. I would like people who are family-oriented, and it's more about life balance and relationships that I would want to speak about.
Life, family, and relationships, did you say?
Mm-hmm. Life balance.
Oh, life balance, okay.
Life balance and relationships.
Okay. Good. What's their socioeconomic class? Or what are they, sorry, what are they, what's their socioeconomic class?
So for socioeconomic class, to me, I think one person affects all, and all people affect one. So I don't mind what the socioeconomic class is. Probably if I had to choose one, I would put upper middle, but I have circled all of them.
Good. Okay. All right. So here's what I get. Like, watch how magical this is, you guys. When I hear Brenda explain her ideal audience, I can, as a listener, not just me, Jennifer Powers, I, just as a simple listener, can tell her that some great places to go make sense to go to AARP, right? Mm-hmm. Go to your local retirement centers. Go to your senior house living, some of the higher end, because you like that upper middle, the higher end senior living developments, right, and communities. I can tell you that some good people to refer with are like estate planners, doctors, right? Thinking out loud here. Community centers, right? They would be good referral partners. So see how easy it is when you can start to really identify who your ideal audience is with clarity, you guys. You can easily answer a lot of questions. The Rotary Club would be another great place because that tends to attract service-oriented, successful, mature adults, right?
Yeah, great.
Good.
Thank you, Jen. Thank you. That's wonderful feedback. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you. How is this helpful? I want to hear from you guys. What's coming up and what do you need more direction in or support around? The ideal audience.
Jennifer, this is Peggy.
Yeah.
This has been really helpful in terms of just selecting a target niche and then taking a look at the different places where you might get clients. And so I guess one of the questions, and I don't want to get ahead of you on your presentation, but is there a way to approach these people in terms of offering your services? And maybe that's coming further down the line.
Yep, we'll definitely talk about that for sure. Actually, that's a good segue into the next section where we're going to talk about the different levels. I told you it's sort of like a ladder or a menu, if you will, of different places you can speak. And I'll talk about how to approach them. So the question is, and I'm on page two now, do you prefer to speak at organized events or self-organized events? A little tidbit, a little sidebar, organized events are those where audiences are already coming together on a regular basis or have a planned event by someone else and they need speakers or trainers to fill slots, right? A self-organized event is something that is publicly open, that you are organizing, that you are getting the space, you are getting the people, you are taking the registration, you are collecting the money. So organized events, you show up, someone else does all the rest. Self-organized events, you're both the planner and the speaker. I would recommend you begin with organized events, but if you're hell-bent on having self-organized events, I get that too. I've done it. But because I lean more, especially in the beginning, to advocating the organized events, we're going to start there because there are so, so many opportunities that I feel like to take on all of the efforts that are involved, like from the tea to the coffee to the Danish, right, to the room, to the AV equipment, to the registration, to the greeting at the door, to getting butts in seats, right, to get people signed up. All of that and then be the deliverer of the information, I feel like that's a lot to bite off at first. However, it is absolutely open and available to you if you wish. But that's not what we're going to be talking about here because I want you guys to have the easiest and quickest road to success and find audiences that are already made. Make sense?
Yes.
Kind of ready-made. Okay. So think about that, and if self-organized events is your answer, then perhaps we can have a phone call with you and we can talk about my experience with that. But for right now, we're going to look at organized events. Now, when you look at speaking to different groups that come together on a regular basis or on a specific, for a specific meeting or conference, you get to consider where you want to start on this ladder. And I encourage you to consider your current level of speaking. Now, what that means is if you're brand new starting out, that's okay because there's something on the menu for you. But if you've spoken quite a bit already, then you want to work your way down the list so you can get higher. So I've organized these in order of new opportunities all the way up to high-end, new opportunities that might be free pro bono talks all the way up to the high-end opportunities where you might be on the main stage for a good lots of money. So let's start. Service clubs. At the very beginning, this is where I started. You hit up Rotary, Kiwanis, Zantra. There are clubs like this that have meetings every week, every single week. And they need speakers every time. And they have a really hard time filling them. So service clubs are great places to offer your speech to as a pro bono offering. And what you get for it is you get to practice your material on a real live audience. You get to become comfortable in front of a room, right? And you get to do a little bit of marketing if they happen to be your ideal audience. This level of speaking, I don't care if it's your ideal audience or not, because this level isn't as much for marketing as it is for practice and getting your feet wet. So if you've never spoken before, this is a great place to start. They're welcoming, they're a great audience, and most topics that a life coach could bring would be suitable for that general audience. Next, you have your community and church groups, and these are small communities, like we were talking earlier, like the senior centers or a church or some other religious or community organization that often have maybe monthly meetings, and they like to have a guest speaker in. Maybe there's roundtable lunches or something that they have in the community. After church, maybe they have a life enhancement hour. These are the opportunities where probably not going to get paid for, but they give you another rich environment to practice your speaking and maybe even pick up a few coaching clients or future speaking gigs. So that's kind of moving up the ladder. Then you go to the Chamber of Commerce. Now, this is where you can start to dabble with maybe getting paid or maybe bartering. I remember I bartered my first year of chamber dues, which were like $495. I thought I was going to have a heart attack when I found that out. $495, I wanted to be a member of the chamber, but I was like, I don't know, I can't really justify that. So I told them I would put on a workshop in exchange. That's about fair, right? It was a 3-hour workshop, and I felt that was a good exchange. It was no skin off their back. They got to market a workshop and even make money off of it, and I got my year membership paid for. Chambers of Commerce are really, really good, especially if you are after small business owners, if you want to help people who are trying to develop their skill set, like communication or marketing, coaching, this sort of thing. But they also have opportunities where life balance is an option. Networking, if you speak on networking or relationships, these are great topics for chambers of commerce. And don't forget there's a women's version, too, in most cases. Then you move up to educational institutions like your colleges, your local colleges, high schools, PTA meetings, anywhere where education is happening, they need training, they need speakers, they need experts. So consider them, and they have money. Not a lot of money. They have money. So you can start to get paid there if that's part of your goal. Then moving up further, you have your business referral groups or networking events. And these are things that might be local, just existing at the local level or at the national level or even the international level. BNI, for example, is Business Network International. That is an international group, but you might have a chapter in your local area. They all need speakers. LATIP is another one. I think it's national or international. E-Women's Network. Any type of business referral group or networking event that you can think of probably has a speaker. Did you guys know that in any given weekday, Monday through Friday, in an average metropolitan area, there are over 100 speaking slots to be filled every day, Monday through Friday? Do you believe that? Like, there's 100 people speaking. Or at least 100 needs. Sometimes they don't even get the slots filled. That is a real statistic. So when people say, I don't know where to start speaking, just remember there are an abundance of opportunities for you to speak at. You just have to know where to look. And then, of course, seek them out. They sometimes have money, the business referral groups and networking events. You can often get like an honorarium out of them or at least a free rubber chicken lunch at the very least. This one I'm doing in April, he said, well, we don't have – it's a really, really good target audience for me. I mean, they're CFOs of all the local big businesses like Nike and Adidas and Columbia Sports. And I said, oh, hell yeah, I want to speak there. What's your budget? They don't have a budget. Okay, well, what can you offer me? Well, we can offer you an open bar and a really nice dinner. Okay, I'll take that. That sounds attractive. I did ask them to make a donation, if they could, to a nonprofit that I really love to support. And she was open to that. So, you know, you can always get creative at this level in the game because they do have money, but maybe maybe not a lot or not all the time. So you get to discern what makes the most sense. Okay. Nonprofit groups like the United Way, Red Cross, YWCA, or any other local nonprofit, hit them up. If they, if their clients fall in your target audience, go see them. And in answer to your question, Peggy, it's really as simple as, like, let's say you're in a networking event and there's someone speaking up there and you're like, oh, yeah, yeah, I could speak at this group. This would be really good. I'm going to go get myself on the speaking roster. And you say, you find some board member, whoever's running the meeting, and you say, hi, I'm Peggy, and I am a local business owner and coach here in town, and I offer a presentation about yada, yada, shish, goomba. Tell them directly. Mm-hmm. What do I need to do to get on your speaker schedule? Oh, they'll say, oh, thank you for asking. We're always looking for great speakers. What is it you said you spoke on again? Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then they say, well, I know it's Susie over there. See her in the pink shirt? She's the one who schedules the speakers, so you want to go talk to her. Come on, I'll go introduce you. Great. It's as simple as that. It is as simple as that. Let's say you're in a, you want to speak to a nonprofit group. I would call human resources or find out on LinkedIn or in my circle of people who I knew. Like if I wanted to talk to the Red Cross, I would go to my circle and who do I know in the Red Cross that can get me connected to the person who hires speakers and trainers? And then have that same conversation. Hi, my name is Jennifer Powers. I am a coach here in Portland, Oregon, and I would really love to bring my signature speech or signature presentation or training, whatever, to your group at the Red Cross. What do I need to do to make that happen? Oh, you need to fill out this RFP or you need to fill out the speaker proposal. Okay, please send me the link. I'll do that right away. Yeah. So I would say, like the service clubs like Rotary and Kiwanis, you just call them up. You just go to the website, the local chapter, who's the prez or who's the what they call the program coordinator or programs chair, and just send them an email. Say, I really want to speak to your group. This is what I speak on. Notice I didn't say, I really want to speak to your group. What would you like me to speak on? Okay, that's a disaster waiting to happen. I mean mega, mega disaster. I can tell you, one time I did that in my very early stages, there was this, I wrote this article in a paper, like I had like a little column, you know, for life coaching. And sure enough, it said, I wanted to get speaking gigs. So I just started telling people I was a speaker. And so I said, you know, contact me to have me come speak to your group. And sure enough, this woman with John L. Scott, which is a local real estate company, sends me an email or calls me up, something like that, and says, oh, I'd really like you to come speak to our agents. And this is like the very, very beginning of when I was a coach and a speaker, because when I was a speaker on my own, I worked for Monster.com. I just spoke for them, so I didn't really need to find clients or come up with my own content. But this, I didn't know. Like, I was like, oh, yeah, I'd love to speak to your agents, sure. And she says, and I said to her, what do you want me to speak on? And she said, well, your article was about time management, and I think that would be a great thing for you to bring to our agency. And I said, like a dummy, oh, yeah, totally. I'd love, yeah, that'd be great. Okay. And then I said to her, what's your budget? And she said, well, I can pay you $125. And I was like, oh, amazing, $125, and it's only a 45-minute speech. Like, bank. I was like doubly giddy. I'm like, yes, I'll do it. Of course. I can't wait. What's the date? Where do you want me to be? Okay, good. I hang up the phone, and that is when the panic set in, because if I know nothing about anything, it's time management. I am, like, the worst time manager. So here I am asking her what she wanted me to speak on. She's telling me, and now I'm in a really uncomfortable position. So much so, I freaked out so much, you guys, that the day I had, like, a little bit of a breakdown, quite honestly, And I called her the night before. It was supposed to be a 9 o'clock presentation. I called her the night before, and I left a message, which I knew I would get because it was, like, so late. I told her that I drove my bike into a ravine, and I got really hurt. And I couldn't make the speech. And then I was, like, in total recovery because, like, there was no freaking way I was going to go speak on that. That just wasn't happening. Like, I couldn't get it together. So don't do that. Don't do that, because then you have to hide out for a week and, like, fake, like, you broke your arm or something. And that's not fun. So what you want to do instead is say, here's what I speak on. Here's my area of expertise. Or here's my most favored topic. My most requested presentation is, even if you only have one, doesn't matter. So tell them what you speak about, and then tell them why you think it's going to be important for their group to hear it. And I think this is a great topic or great message for your group because, right, yada, yada. And then you say, what do you think about the fit? What do you think about that topic being a great fit? And, of course, you just told them all the reasons why it's a great fit. So they're going to go, yeah, I do think that's a good fit. Okay, great. When can I get on the schedule? Yeah? Okay. Other opportunities moving forward, and I'm going to stop for questions here in a second. You got your nonprofits, then direct sales. Don't discount, like, the Mary Kay's, the Pampered Chef, the Arbonne's. They all have team meetings, small and large, local and national, that they need motivation for their salespeople because they're direct sales reps, and they always need education and inspiration. So who do you know? Who do you know that is in direct sales? And say to them, can you put me in contact with your leader, the leader of your downline? I'd love to come speak to your, if it's a good fit, right? If it's your niche market and the topic makes sense, hit them up. I've done that many times. They don't always have a lot of money. Sometimes the leader won't have a budget, but she'll make, like, each individual person pay, like, $15 or something. So, you know, 30 people, you might get a nice chunk of change. But sometimes they just have a little bit of a budget. So be creative there. Now, moving up, you get into your company and corporate meetings. And I say that, like, both internally and externally. So they might have, like, a brown bag lunch at Intel where they get together. There was one I did several times. It was called Beyond the Cube. It was like a sort of like a performance enhancement perk that they gave their employees, and it just they took them out of their cubicle for an hour each month, and they brought in a speaker, and I just gave them the OSHIF presentation time and time again, and they just ate it up. So if you have a good topic that corporate people might enjoy, you want to work with their human resources, call their human resources department, send them an email, including all the things that you would say in person, like, I am this person, I have this experience, I offer this program and topic, and I think it would be an excellent topic for your group because, and then what do I need to do? I'm wondering what I need to do or when we can talk about getting on your roster. See that? So there are tons and tons of businesses, large and small, in your community that need training, that need speakers, that need facilitators, that need anyone who is willing to bring some information and education and inspiration to their workers. Okay?
Okay.
Again, taking into account your target audience and your message. And then finally, way up at the ladder, I mean, there's money to be made in the corporate. I mean, yes, you'll get paid quite well giving trainings and speaking gigs to the moving further up that money line, if you will, is the industry associations. And they all have conferences, and there's an association for everything. I mean, there's even, like, I spoke to the Association of Groundwater groundwater workers, whatever, the trash, the Refuse and Recycling Association. Yeah, there's an association for anything you can imagine. And they all have conferences. And at those conferences, they either need a keynote speaker on the main stage, opening speaker, or breakouts, which are more like a workshop where they're in smaller groups. So who is your target audience? What industry association does your target audience belong to or would attend? And go find out what conference they're putting on and what they might need. I would start, unless you're like a big keynoter, I would just start asking them to submit a proposal for a breakout session. Same exact verbiage. I am so-and-so. I am an experienced coach and speaker here in the blah, blah, blah. I specialize in and my topic is, right? How do I? Yeah. So these are conference organizers you would be approaching. Meeting Planners International, MPI, they're a great group to become acquainted with if you're really serious about getting into this type of, you know, this level of speaking. Because they're the ones that are in charge of recruiting speakers and contracting them. And there is moolah to be made at that level. Not always, but very, very often. Okay? All right, questions. Questions about these levels, what's coming up for you, where you might start.
What was the name of that last organization you mentioned? Was it for meeting planners, MMI?
MPI, yeah. Meeting Planners International.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
Yeah, good. Other questions, thoughts? Nothing? Michelle, Deborah, you good? Peggy?
You know, I was just, this is Peggy, and I was just wondering in terms of doing the speaking engagements, you know, is there room for negotiation, for example, if you're working with an organization and, you know, for example, I worked years in education and I understand that they do have a limited budget, but in terms of protocol, do you think it's appropriate to possibly negotiate, try to negotiate with them on a rate that would be acceptable to both sides?
I wouldn't only recommend it, I would require it that you negotiate, yes. Yes, yes. And not only negotiate money, like if money is just not something they can do, to get creative, think outside the box. One time with Meeting Planners International, they wanted me to come in and speak. They did, it was only a breakout. They couldn't pay my fee. And I think the time my fee was only like $1,000 for the breakout. So I said, all right, what do you got? Like, what do you got in place? And I said, will you be, she goes, well, what do you mean? And I said, well, are you going to be professionally recording it? And she said, yes. And I said, well, I would love a edited copy of my presentation. That's very valuable to me because if I was going to hire someone to come out, it would be at least $750, right? So I negotiated that in exchange for my fee. Another group, they had me come in, and what they had, they were like a hotel group. And no, they were like more like a event planning group. It was like a luxurious event planning group. I don't know. I can't remember what they were called. If I thought about it, I could. Anyway, turns out I said that they didn't have money, and I said, "Well, what do you got? Like, even if it's not money, like, what? Let's get creative." And she said, "You know what? I have this kind of like we call it the treasure chest." And I was like, "Say more." And she said, let me go dig around. She calls me back 10 minutes later. She says, how would $100 in manicure pedicures be in Portland? I go, oh, yeah, that would be good. I also have 2 ski lift tickets. I go, yeah, okay. She goes, I have a spa day at McKillahee Spa and Resort. I said, yes, please. She said, I also have this, it was like this walkie-talkie set. I don't know. I was like, yep, throw that in. She gave me this, literally this like massive amount. It, like in sum, it made me really happy, but in sum, it was more than what my fee, what I would have paid her in fee.
Mm-hmm.
If they don't have that, then there's the opportunity to say, well, you know what, I can take some non-monetary compensation. And what that looks like is I would love to be included in your next newsletter where I can write an article with a link to my website. Yes, you can do that. I would like the name of two people that you know who have a similar audience that can afford my speaking fee. If you could do an e-introduction, that would be great. Or maybe you can just give me a booth, right, because I got stuff to sell. If you give me a booth at your conference, that's sometimes $700, you know, between $500 and $1,000, easy. That would be a great compensation for me. So sometimes it's like, it's not going to cost them anything, but it's very valuable to you. Does that make sense?
Oh, absolutely. That's great. That's very creative. That's what I was looking
for.
Yeah.
Yeah. Get creative. It's fun. It's really fun. And it's again, I want to encourage you to, value your speaking so that other people will do the same. Even if you decide to do it for free, like this lady with the CFOs, I said to her, you know, this would typically be, you know, a couple $1,000s, like at the local level. I mean, I know it's just like a monthly meeting, so I'm not going to charge you my keynote price, but this would typically be X amount of dollars. But you know what? I'm really interested in being in front of this group, so I'm willing to negotiate. And so here's what I'm willing to do. You know what I'm saying? So, like, make sure that you're stating the value before you decide to do it pro bono, you know, if you're after money or for non-monetary compensation. All right. Good. Other questions on this before we move on? Because we got to keep moving.
This is Deborah. I just have a quick question. So when you started speaking, was it before or after you were writing and publishing?
Oh, no, it was before. I was speaking before I wrote.
That's good news, because I'm always thinking that you need some kind of structure behind you to say, it's credible, look, I published a book.
The topic of my very first keynote, because I didn't even bother with training. Like, once I got through the service communities and that little bike accident that I faked, I moved up to the chamber, and then networking events, I spoke to all those, and then, like, the United Way, Red Cross, all that, Arbonne. Once I got up to the corporate, I mean, I was, all that time before I wrote O-Shift, my topic, this is my keynote. This is my keynote. Three keystones to success. That was it. Three keystones to success. That was my freaking keynote topic. I gave that hundreds of times. I gave that keynote so many times. I remember it was one time I gave it that finally really, really launched. It was to the Builders Association, the Home Builders Association in Salem. And I gave that talk, and it was the one that just catapulted me, because that group had so many connections. It was a really large group, and they had so many connections with so many other organizations that it really spun out. So yeah, you just find your topic that meets the audience's needs and just put it out there. You don't need a book. Eventually you have a book, and then you get more credibility, yeah. But no, don't be afraid of that. Okay.
Thank you.
Next, moving on. Well, what are you committed to doing to hone your speaking skills? The thing I always say, if you're going to be a speaker, there's one thing you want to make sure you do, and that is don't suck. Just don't suck. Be a good speaker. Be at the very least, a decent speaker. And decent speakers get requests for speaking events, right? So you might get one or two, but if you're not getting requests after that, it's probably because you need to further hone your speaking skills. And this is serious, you guys, because whether you're going to do it for marketing or money, you want to put your best foot forward. So just a quick list of, like, the journey that you might take, and depending on where you are, you might move down the line here. First, Toastmasters. You can't go wrong. There's a chapter everywhere. It's very supportive. Who's in Toastmasters here? Who's ever gone? Say your name.
Deborah, I ran the Toastmasters where I work, so yeah,
yep.
That's involved.
Yep, it's brilliant, right? Supportive.
Absolutely.
Educational.
Yeah.
Okay, so if you don't know what Toastmasters is, it is a an international speaking group that has chapters all over the world, where you go and you practice and you learn speaking skills, how to speak at the platform, how to use your body, how to choose the right words, how to choose a topic, how to build a speech. Just brilliant. Find one that's near you that fits your schedule and that is geographically, you know, convenient, and then visit it, see if it's a good fit. And when you find one that's a good fit, go, join. It's not expensive. It's an investment in time, but you will get it back in spades. After that, or while you do that, study the art of speaking. Get a book. Take a class. Take a public speaking. That's what I did. I took a public speaking class in the very beginning at the community college. Read books. Watch videos. Go on YouTube and just watch people speak, right? Get clear on what a good speaker is and what a not-so-good speaker is. And get clear on best practices, what you want to incorporate into your speaking and what you don't. You know, do you prefer the look of a canned speech, or do you like more of the impromptu speech? Is there humor that you want to incorporate? Like, what is it that's really piquing your interest in terms of the speakers that you're reading? And then read that book, Speak and Grow Rich. It is a classic. It's the Bible for speakers. Speak and Grow Rich by Dottie Walters. Okay. Then, if you want to go even further, you can hire a speaking coach. I'm not saying you need to, but they're out there. You can search for them in your local community, and that's someone who will have a one-on-one, usually in person, although some people do it by Skype if they're far away, that help you either write your speech, to craft it, or delivery of your speech to help you create a more dynamic or natural delivery. Speaking coaches. If you're really serious, you want to visit the National Speakers Association. Your local chapter is available. Every state and most major cities have one. The NSA, the National Speakers Association, is a group that teaches you not how to speak, but it teaches you and supports you in building a speaking business. So where Toastmasters teaches you how to speak, NSA teaches you the business of speaking. Does that make sense? Not every speaker is a member of NSA. And not every member of NSA is a keynote speaker. Some of them are trainers or workshop facilitators. So check out their website. It's there. Like I said, watch other people speak, other speakers on YouTube. What's good? What you think works? What doesn't? What are they opening with? What are they closing with? What are their strengths? How are they using their body? Like, really be a student of this, you guys.
Okay.
And then speak. Speak to your dog. Speak to your family. Sit your husband or wife down. Just sit them down and listen. Have them listen to you speak and ask for feedback. I know a couple speakers who I've mentored that have gotten together, like, five or six of their favorite colleagues that or friends and family that know, like, and trust them. They've brought them to a private room in a restaurant or a conference room somewhere, and they've delivered their presentation. Some use PowerPoint, the whole kit and caboodle they deliver.
Mm-hmm.
And then they have, like, a 30-minute feedback session because their friends and family want to support you. Your friends and family want to support you, so ask them what they liked, what they didn't like. Did you lose them? Was the content too much? Was it too little? How is your voice? How is your body language? Yeah, all of this. Just speak. Go to Rotary. Go to Kiwanis. Tell them you want to speak. Make that your first public audience. Okay, and I have always been a big fan of video recording yourself. So that you can see, right, what you can get your sincere impression of yourself speaking. It's a little bit daunting, but when you get used to it, it's really a great tool. So I used to video record myself in my living room. I would record my Toastmaster speeches like 3 or 4 times before I actually went to the meeting and delivered it. And I'll tell you, it really made a difference. Any other ideas you can think of that you're committed to doing to hone your speaking skills? Okay. Hopefully you've circled one or two wherever you're at that you're committed to working on. Again, if you're going to take this seriously, and if you're not, no big, but if you're going to take this seriously, you want to include this as part of your plan or journey, because it's very important that you get that you really get tight, get real good. I mean, not really good. You don't have to be a master at it, but you gotta show, like, you know, you've really put some effort into this. There's nothing worse than being in an audience where the speaker just didn't do the work. You know what I mean? So don't be that. Okay. Now we're going to look at choosing a topic, title, length of your talk. So this is where a lot of new speakers get a little bit stuck. So I've come out with a real simple system to outline your speech. Okay? And I say outline, you guys, because what I have found does not work is scripting out my entire speech, memorizing it, and then delivering it. I have lost my place too many times with egg on my face way too often to ever do that again. So it doesn't feel natural. It doesn't look natural. It is too easy to mess up. But when you work from an outline instead of a script, and trust me on this one, you are freer to bring more of you into it. There's really no right or wrong. It's just sort of following, right? There's no specific words you need to say. It's just an outline you need to follow. So I encourage you not to start, as tempting as it is, not to start scripting your speech, but to start outlining your speech, okay? And we'll talk more about that outline on the next page. But I'm flipping over to page 3. The question is, what kind of talk do you want to give? Is it inspirational? Is it informational? Or is it both? Inspirational would be like soft skills, like how to live a better life, right? Informational would be like telling people how to use coaching in their leadership, right? You're going to give them some specific skills or how to communicate effectively or how to use body language to get what you want. That more is more informational. But it can also be a combination. You can bring hard skills in and make it informational, but also have an inspirational flair to it. But it's totally up to you. What kind of speaker are you? What do you want to give? What is your topic going to lean towards? What percentage of inspiration versus information are you going to give? Take a moment. Okay, who wants to share? Funny guys, if you don't participate, I can't coach you or support you individually.
Okay, this is Debbie Field, and I'm going to try to clarify a little bit, make sure I have this right in my brain.
Okay.
Okay. Inspirational for me, I would understand that as being kind of uplifting, kind of something to look forward to, that kind of thing. Versus to me would be more of a detailed how to person oriented more so.
Totally. And, exactly.
Okay. Because I prefer inspirational. I would prefer to speak more inspirationally.
Inspirationally. Okay, so is it 100%? Is it 90%? Where are you at?
I would probably do maybe a 70-30.
Okay. Now, why is this important? Why is it important, you guys, to come up with this?
For me, it's to give me more direction, goal to set, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because when it comes down to choosing your topic and writing your outline, you're going to want to know what to fill it in with. Do you need, are you going to spend more time, you know, with the content being informational and less inspirational? Are you going to include more, you know, then you would include more tools. But if you're going to spend more time inspiring, maybe you would include more quotes or more stories, right? So it's important to get really clear. Oh, I hear some feedback. I don't know. Someone's Skyping. Okay. Thank you. So, once you have that, the next logical step is this. If I asked you to stand up right now, right this moment, and speak to your target audience about something that you are just so comfortable talking about that you could do it impromptu right now, what would that topic be?
For me, it would be addiction recovery or overcoming traumas. That's what I've had the most experience with. So I would feel more comfortable with that.
So good. It's so good that you chose something. Is that Debbie?
Yes, it is.
Yeah. It's so good that you choose something that you have experience with firsthand or direct knowledge with because you studied it. Remember that time management thing? That's why that was such a bust, and I couldn't do it because I stink at it. I don't do it well. I don't have good experience or knowledge about it. So what am I doing speaking about it, right? But if you told me to stand up now and talk about public speaking, I wouldn't even know where to start. I could have your ear for like, you know, well, I am going to have it for 2 hours, right? There's no script here. I could just talk and talk. I could also stand up and talk about Toastmasters. I could speak on the value of Toastmasters for like 20 minutes. I could talk about traveling because I love traveling and I do it and I do it well and I do it often. So there's traveling tips, right? How to safely travel. I could talk about that in a second to you right now. Now you might say, well, what does traveling have to do with, you know, your target audience, Jen? Well, if it doesn't have a direct relationship to what your target audience needs to hear, as described in your interests above, then what you might do is use traveling as an analogy to what might serve them, right? So I might say, maybe I want to talk about, I'm totally making this up now, so excuse me if it's not perfect. Let's say I want to help people find their passion and purpose. It's similar to planning a trip. How many of you have planned a trip? Raise your hand and traveled somewhere. Yeah, traveling. What's so great about traveling? Oh, yeah, you see different places. You learn. That's kind of the thing with passion and purpose, isn't it? Like you see new facets of yourself and you learn new things when you're pursuing that journey. So pursuing your passion is sort of like planning a trip. And here's what I mean. Here's three steps. What I mean. Like first you have to take inventory of where you're going, right? And what I mean by that is you want to find out about that place. So you want to find out, you want to learn more about what you're working with. So like who are you, right? And then the second thing you need to do is you need to pack your bags. Don't you? In order to pack your bags, you really need to do your homework, right? And so packing your bags in this analogy means blah, blah, blah. And then finally, when you get there, you need to explore. And exploring and traveling is so fun, but it's really, really fun in pursuing your passion and purpose because that's where you get to, you know, dip your toes in the different worlds of blah, blah, blah. Okay? So you might be a gardener. You might love gardening, right? So bring that in and use that as an analogy. Whatever it is, what I want for you guys is to find something that you are super comfortable talking about. Because when you're comfortable, you're confident. And when you're confident, you're marketable. When you're confident, you're good up there. And when you're good up there, people are going to be moved by you. They're going to want to hire you or have you come back and speak again or have you coach them. You see? So you got to start out with something super comfortable. So what is that? Write it down and don't worry about whether it makes sense right at the moment or whether it addresses the needs of your target audience. But write down a couple things that you could talk about.
Jane?
Yeah?
I just wanted to make sure you could hear me. I need to know whether I have muted myself out or not.
No, I can hear you.
Okay, great. All right, so I see that based on the reason which was a Deborah speaking, that I would choose to go 75% inspirational, I'm putting 25% informational.
Mm-hmm.
And the topic, I you know, if I have to think, what am I most comfortable talking about is immigration.
Yep.
I think immigration and very much marriage, I think. Marriage and relationships. I'm very comfortable talking about those topics.
Good. And who is your ideal audience is mature adults, right, who are middle to – so you might –
I'm sorry.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
Sorry, June. I'm sorry that I interrupted you. I was going to say
okay.
You it's not only mature adults. I'm very comfortable speaking with young people because of the ages of my children. So I'm pretty comfortable speaking with adults in general, no matter what the age is.
Okay. All right. So this is a good learning opportunity. So when we are spread thin on our target audiences, what we do when we do that is, like let's say the age, is we water down our credibility.
Okay.
And we might not be as, because we're not as targeted, we might not be as, I hate to say desirable, but maybe marketable, right?
Okay.
So if I, it's like in coaching, right? If I say I coach anyone from 15 to 85, I'm like, well, I'd rather have someone who coaches someone that's 45 because that's, you know, like that does somewhat, I mean, women in their 40s. That's going to be more attractive to me because I'm a woman in my 40s. But if someone just coaches everybody, right? So it's the same thing. It's like, oh, you specifically speak to mature adults like boomers and retirees? Oh, my gosh, that's exactly who we work with. You're, like, a great candidate. So I would encourage you to really nail that down.
Okay, I understand, and I appreciate that. Yes, I'm beginning to get that message. So I do basically tend to think, you know, no, I'll just almost everybody, but yes, I must actually be more specific with a particular age group.
Good, good.
Right.
I really
Thank
recommend
you.
That.
Thank
mm-hmm.
you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Other comments on that? Or questions? Okay. The next question, what sexy title comes to mind? I toy between whether to place it here or later, but I still want to introduce it, whether or not it makes sense for you to come up with a title before your speech or after. So for me, O Shift, the title of my book, O Shift, came to me before the book ever did. Which is funny, right? Because most people would tell you never title your book until after you write the book. Well, I didn't, and it worked really great for me. So sometimes a title can inspire you to write the outline more so than the outline can inspire the title. So, you know, play with it a little bit. But I've given you some different ways to approach writing a title. Now, a title is really important, you guys, because it might be the only thing that someone reads, you know, before they, you know, decide to read more about you. So you want to make it, when I say sexy, I mean, like, it catches their eye. Like, it is, you know, it's like, wait, what? That's funny, or that's fun, or that's interesting, or that's, you know, triggering something in me. So there's a lot of different examples there. You can use a key phrase that you say again and again in your speech. We call that the phrase that pays, right? So, for example, you can't deny yourself forever. That's a great speech title. You can give them an idea of what they're going to be getting. Three easy steps to communicating with impact. Or you can just plant a very vague assumption in their heads, like, you said it, not me. Like, whoa, that's, gosh, I wonder what that's about, right? So, and then you might have a tagline if needed. Some titles will ask for a tagline. You said it, not me. How to really get your point across to your boss, something like that. Okay? You can use the title of your book, like Oh Shift, How to Change Your Life. So that's descriptive. Pose an unanswered question. How do you spell leadership? Offer value or takeaway in the title. Learn how to really sell your socks off. list a number of reasons, secrets, types, or ways to fill in blank. Three reasons why you should think with your heart, not with your head. Plant a question in the audience's mind that they'll like two words you'll never forget. They're like, what are the words? I want to know the words. make a specific promise or proposal. Get green and get lean. Use a pun. How to shoot people. A workshop for photographers. I love that one. Get it? Shoot photographers. Be surprising. I am Alzheimer's. What? That's a great title. Make it a little irreverent. It's your fault I'm miserable and five other ways we give away our power. Or challenge your audience. Go home, go big or go home, designing your dream kitchen. So there's a lot of fun, like have fun with it. It's very easy to get into that like humdrum titles, but titles are super important. If you need help with that, I encourage you to, there's an article there. I think if that link is still like awesome. Okay. Let's see if that still goes. Yeah, there's a great article there for that. And there's also the great book by Sam Horn. Sam Horn's amazing. She's an incredible speaker and one that is a great resource for new speakers. POP, Create the Perfect Pitch, Title, and Tagline for Anything by Sam Horn. That's a great book. Okay, any sexy titles come to mind that someone wants to share?
I think these are just amazing already.
Aren't they fun?
Oh, they're wonderful.
Who wrote one down? Who took some notes on something?
Sorry, what was the question, Jean?
Yeah, who wrote a creative title down?
No, I haven't paid.
One of the titles I wrote down was Who's Got What I Want?
Yeah. See, that's great. Who's Got What I Want? And how can I get it? That's good. Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah. Good. Anyone else?
That's awesome.
Uh-huh. Okay. I know I'm throwing a lot of food for thought at you, so don't worry if it's not coming to you. But this guidebook, what I love about it, I've created it so you can just go back. Maybe listen to this recording and perhaps be inspired later by some of these blanks, fill in some of these blanks. Okay, moving on. It's very important to understand that speeches or presentations or workshops are going to have a standard length. And a lot of people ask me, like, what's the standard length, Jen? Well, I would say, depending on what you're offering, it can range anywhere from 20 minutes, literally, to 90 minutes, right, to like a keynote, to 3 hours if it's a workshop, right, or and then some. But your original version really should be clear what it is. So let me give you an example. My Oh Shift talk, which is my signature speech, is a 60-minute keynote in its original version. In 60 minutes, without too much pain or struggle, I can fit everything I want to say in. However, if a client calls me and says, I have 90 minutes to fill in the keynote, can you do that? I absolutely can. Because I've used what I call this accordion method. I add or subtract stories. I add audience interaction and extend that, or I tag on a Q&A at the end. So 90 minutes is not a problem. 75 minutes, yep, I can do that. I just add in less interaction and maybe one less story. You see? If someone comes to me and says, can you do your O shift, but I only have 30 minutes, I would be hesitant myself. However, I have done it because I've taken one of my 3 points of the 60-minute talk and just gave 20 or 30 minutes. Extended, you know what I'm saying? I didn't take all 3 points. I just took one. I don't ever speak for less than 30 minutes. I've seen people do it. I have. I've seen people do 15-minute talks, and I say, more power to you, but I don't know how to do. I don't. It's harder to fill 15 minutes than it is an hour. So it's surprising, but imagine how concise you need to be and how skinny your material needs to be, so that you're not giving too much information, you're not rushing, and you're not bombarding them with a bunch of crap in 15 minutes. It's just harder for me. So I say 30 minutes is what I need. If you have less, you might find someone else. But it's totally up to you. So what is your original version of your speech going to be? We need this because we're going to be working on the original version in this class. So, like, how long would you like it to be? If you're someone who, like, is going to do more networking events and rotary meetings, 30 minutes might be good. If you're someone who's going to be doing keynotes and that sort of thing, an hour would be better. If you're going to do more workshops and seminars, anywhere from, like, 90 minutes to 3 hours would be best. So, like, what is the original version going to be? Take a note. And then think about if you want other versions. Like, let's say you have a 3-hour workshop, and that's what you want to put out into the world. But if someone calls you and says, can you come and speak for an hour? Like, do you want to say yes or no to that? If you want to say yes, then other versions will include a 60-minute long. And it's very possible to do that. But if you say, you know what, I only do workshops. I'm not going to do keynotes, so an hour isn't. I certainly can't do this in 30 minutes, so that's not happening. I'm just going to stick with 3. That's fine, too. But I want you to really consider the different versions that you can offer people, because there's a lot of different formats, you know, a lot of different time slots, duration that people will request from you. So who's got what they've come up with? How many minutes is the original version?
I think I would be most comfortable with 50 minutes right now. If I think about it, to me, to be able to stand and speak for an hour seems a long time.
Okay, good. So 30 minutes is yours. And do you want to have other versions, or do you just want to stick with 30 minutes?
You know, Jen, I think I would actually experience it first. I think I know nothing about it at all, and so I don't think I can really give a good answer. I would actually experience it first to see how comfortable I would be. I just know if I sit listening to people speaking, your attention span is, well, unless it's me and my age, I don't know. I just sometimes think, sometimes you can give a very good message. People are listening for those first 20, 30 minutes. And then you just lose them, I think, after that length of time.
Yeah, I'm going to talk to you. Okay, but there's ways around that, and I'll talk to you about that at the very end of this class when we talk about how to keep your talk dynamic so you don't lose them. But, yeah, I hear what you're saying. So it sounds like 30 minutes is where you're at. That's your sweet spot, and that's what you offer. Good. That's good. Yeah, who else?
Hey, Janet, Felicia.
Yeah.
I'm thinking, for me, like you, I feel like 60 minutes probably would work for me because I know personally I'm a little long-winded and I get passionate when I'm talking. So for me, anything less would be, like, excruciating. Like, so that's an area where I definitely need to learn how to, you know, cut back.
Okay. So then the original one is 60, and then are you saying you would include a 30-minute one, or you want to work towards that?
The original is 60, and I would include a 30. I mean,
you
I would definitely work towards it, but yeah, I would. I would want to.
Okay.
I guess that's
perfect. Good. Did anyone not come up with the, thanks, Felicia. Did anyone not come up with the original version, the length, the original length? Anyone having trouble?
This is Deborah. Two things really quick. I wasn't able to find the attachment to a booklet that I think we're also supposed to be working through, so I just wanted to bring
that up. Oh, Deborah.
It's okay.
Mamma mia.
I'm not sure
no, you need this. Is this Deborah Field? Is this Deborah Field or Levin Sailor?
Levin Sailor.
All right, ma'am.
And
one
so just to let you know, not taking any time on that.
Yeah.
Be sure that
who
I
else?
Have the best way to get it.
Who else doesn't have it?
I have it, Jen. This is Debbie Field, and I have it. I have 60 minutes. But I could do, I mean, I've done workshops before, so I can... With mine, I can add in activities, or I can add in questions and answers, or I can, or,
mm-hmm.
you know, the 30 minutes sometimes gets really short. It's almost
mm-hmm.
like a bullet point kind of thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
That.
So you're going to find that, what do you mean bullet point? Tell me more.
Well, kind of, it's more, like really direct, like, just say if, I was going to talk about addiction, we'll just use that as a topic, you know, it would be just really brief talking about the brain and how addictions interact with the brain and what happens
mm-hmm.
during that, you know, kind of thing. And I wouldn't be able to get into a lot more of the, you know, emotional and how it affects the family and, you know,
I
want to have control. And, you know what I'm saying?
So you might want to have a series. You might want, one of the biggest, I think, how could I say this, mistakes that new speakers make is they do try to get it all in there. And I'm hearing that you're being cautious of that. So less is always more. And you can start to think about a series, offering a series of speeches where they can either stand alone, right,
mm-hmm.
or
right.
they can require that everyone attends each one, you know, in succession.
Yeah.
That is it sounds like a really good idea for you, unless you want to make it a full-on workshop where you have them for 4 hours and you really do the work that way. I mean, you know, there's lots of ways to skin the cat.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Good. Deborah Levin Sailor, I sent you the email. Did you get it?
Oh, I have it on me. Sorry. I will look at it. I can't open it at the moment, but I will get back in my email.
Okay. All right. Well, you can listen to the recorded call, too. All right. So I want to move on because we're doing the groundwork, and you'll see how it's all going to come together. But the next question is, what will the outline of your speech include? Well, you want to start with answering the question about what exactly you want your audience to walk away knowing, learning, understanding, or adopting as a result of hearing you speak. For example, if I stood out in the lobby of the room that you just spoke to, a group of people, and I waited for all of them to come out at the end, and I grabbed any random person, and I said to them, what did Peggy teach you in there? Or what did you learn in there? Or what did you take away from Peggy's talk? That person should quickly and readily be able to answer the question, and I should be able to go to the next person, and they should have a very similar answer. This is the litmus test, you guys. Too many speakers, they just dump a whole bunch of information, and the attendee walks out going, I don't know, it was a lot. I mean, it was kind of inspirational, but I don't know what we were really learning or teaching. You know, I don't know. So that's why it's important to answer that question at the beginning and then build your talk around that. So after hearing my talk, your worksheet says, I want my audience to what? I want my audience to realize they're not alone. After hearing my talk, I want my audience to learn how to ask for help. After hearing my talk, I want my audience to understand that they have a choice in how they react. After hearing my talk, I want my audience to be able to make better food choices. After hearing my talk, I want my audience to know that anything is possible. I don't know, whatever. What is it? What do you want your audience to know, adopt, learn, understand, believe, feel? What? Super important that you answer this question before you move into writing your outline. Why? Because the outline is going to support you helping your audience know, learn, understand, or adopt this thing. Does that make sense, you guys?
Yes.
All right. You're going to love this. Once you get this, you can apply this to every speech. Everyone I teach this to freaking loves this because it's so easy. So after hearing my talk, I want my audience to notice it's not like change their life for the better. No, you can't do that in an hour. You just can't do that. You know, it can't be after hearing my talk, I want my audience to lose 5 pounds. No, because I'm going to catch them, right? I want my audience to know that weight management is within their control. Yeah, that they can do. So what did you come up with? Who's got what?
Jane, I've got one, but I feel so cheesy even saying it because it's kind of my mantra that love is the answer and love changes everything. So I would like them to feel that love, with love, anything is possible.
Yeah, with love, that's right. With love, anything is possible. Yep, perfect. Who else? After hearing my talk, I want my audience to...
Okay, what I put down was understand the nature of addiction. Is that too broad?
It is indeed broad. The nature of addiction is like there's textbooks written on that, right? So what about the nature of addiction could you help them learn?
Maybe understand what addiction is.
Okay. And you might even get like even more specific, like what about addiction? Why do you want them? Let me ask you this. Who is this speaking?
This is Debbie Field.
Debbie. Why do you want your audience, I'm just going to coach you a little bit, why do you want your audience to know about addiction, what addiction is?
Because there's so many that think it's just an act of the will that it can, you know, when they're drinking too much, they could just quit, you know. Why don't they just quit eating those bugs? Why don't they just, you know, they don't understand.
Okay, finish this sentence then. I want my audience, after hearing my talk, I want my audience to understand addiction so that they...
So that they know it's not an act of the will?
So that they...
Understand why someone can't just quit. Or just play it.
So that they can
cope with it differently?
Cope with addiction. Cope with loved ones or who? Whose addiction?
Yeah, their loved ones.
So coping with loved ones. So I want my audience to walk away understanding how to better cope with their loved one's addiction.
Okay.
Do You see, it's just different, right? It's like addiction is like, oh, what is addiction? But what's the point of teaching them addiction? You want them to have a point so that they can take away and use it to better their life, right?
Right.
Unless, I stand corrected, unless you just want to be informational and you just want to tell them the ABCs of addiction.
Yeah.
Because they're curious.
Right, that would be, yeah, if they were just, like, curious and wanted to know, you know, what it is or whatever, yeah.
Mm-hmm. This is a different talk, but you see the differences, right? You see the nuances that can be pulled out of it. Okay,
yeah.
Good, thank you. Thanks, Debbie. All right, after hearing my talk, I want my audience to blank. Now your job in the outline is to write 3 supporting points, steps, or tips that fortify or strengthen, you guys, the objective that you want your audience. Like, what are 3 points that will support or 3 steps they can do to reach that objective? Or tips they can use to arrive at that objective. These are the 3 points. So my speech is, after hearing my talk, I want my audience to understand that the power of choice can help them find joy. I don't have this written down, so I'm totally living it. But after hearing my talk, I want my audience to understand that they can choose joy in any given moment. Boom. That's good. All right. 3 supporting points. It's about choice. So I'm going to say I'm going to teach them how they can choose their words to choose joy. I'm going to teach them to choose their reactions. And then I'm going to teach them how to find joy. And then I'm going to teach them how to choose their role, the victim role or the victor role, to find joy. So I'm going to use words as my first supporting point. Second is reactions, choose reactions. Third is choose the role. Boom. I got my structure. Once I have that, I could do it another way. I could do it another way. Maybe I want people to understand how to use their words to create their reality. I want my audience to understand that their words can create their reality. First step is pause. And I talked about the power of pause before speaking. Second step is to choose words that create positive. That attracts positive energy. And 3, speak the words with clear intention. Whatever. Yeah. You can do it any way you want, but it's gotta always feed back to your objective of what you want your audience to learn or understand or adopt. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Once you get those 3 major headings, now you backfill with ideas or stories, anecdotes, quotes, statistics, anything that can support that one point. So if I say, choose your words to create joy, then what I'm doing is I'm going to backfill to support that. And what does that mean, choose words? Well, I might define what I mean by choosing your words. I might give an example. I'll tell a story about a time that one of my clients or myself or a friend used their words to create a negative reality and how they then changed their words and how it created a positive reality, right, and more joy. I might give an anecdote or something personal that happened to me. Or I can use statistics to show, like, some study that showed that words are the biggest effector of mood above anything else, right? But what it is I'm supporting that first point. Do you see that? I'm backfilling with appropriate, supportive ideas, stories, or anecdotes. Quotes, statistics, whatever. Success stories, okay? I do the same thing with my second one, Reactions. Reactions. Choosing your reactions is a powerful way to arrive at joy. How can I prove that? I got to defend that. I got to tell them what that means. When I've used a reaction how to choose my reaction. What happens when you choose a reaction that doesn't lead you to joy, and how to flip it around and choose a reaction that will, right? And then I do it with the third. Yeah. Victim. Choose your role, victim versus victor. I'll start with what is a victor versus a victim? Then I'll tell a story of someone who chose the victim role, and I'll tell a story of someone that chose the victor role, right? Okay. This is what we call the body of your speech. It is simply taking 3 points and supporting them with appropriate ideas, stories, or anecdotes. Okay? Mm-hmm. Are you guys following me? That's the body.
Yes.
Okay. What you do next is you write your introduction. And now I say write your introduction. I don't say outline it. Because if you're going to memorize anything, you want it to be your introduction and your conclusion. Why? Because your introduction is going to get them, draw them in. So you want to be clear. You want to be concise. You want to be well-spoken. You want to be well-versed, maybe even well-practiced, to get their attention and to build your credibility of why they should continue to listen to you and not take out their iPhone. Your conclusion, you want it to be well-practiced and well-versed and written, because that's the note you're leaving them on. So you want that to be really solid and leave them with a good taste and flavor and motivation or whatever. So you write your intro, and at the simplest form, when you write your intro, this is true Toastmasters, you tell them what you're going to tell them. So your intro, which is very short and sweet, is like, so today I'm going to talk to you about how to choose joy. I'm going to introduce to you 3 powerful ways that you can implement your power of choice so that you can find joy in any given moment, no matter what's going on in your environment. We're going to talk about how to choose your words, how to choose your reactions, and how to choose your role. And by the time we get done, you are going to have everything you need to find joy in any moment of the day. Something like that, okay? I'm introducing what I'm going to tell them. Then I go to the body, and I tell them. First, we start with choosing your words. Words are so powerful. Words are the most abundant, natural, free resource that are available to us in any given moment. We get to choose them in any way, shape, or form. Words are powerful. Let me tell you a story about how powerful words are. Boom. Right? Point three. Then you write your conclusion. And at the simplest form, it's you tell them what you told them. And it sounds something like, so we talked about how to use the power of choice to find joy. I talked to you about choosing your words that create a reality that is positive. We also talked about and worked on how to choose your reactions appropriately so that your reactions can reflect the positive reality that you want. And then finally, we talked about how to choose the victor role instead of the victim role so that you can step into joy regardless of who says what or does what. Okay. This is all you need for blah, 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 blah. And then you continue to wrap it up. You just tell them what you told them. Questions about that? This is not rocket science. This is easy breezy, you guys. The biggest and most challenging point is after hearing my talk, I want my audience too. That's the biggest thing, because then all you need to do is support that. Find 3 points that support it, or 3 steps or 3 tips, and then filler in. People love stories. People love anecdotes. People like statistics. They like quotes. That's just all supportive material. Then you've got your intro. You tell them what you told them. You got your body. You tell them. And then you got your conclusion. You tell them what you told them. Now, how do you chunk this out time-wise? Easy. You know what the original version of your speech will be, so put that number in there. The intro is typically And I'm careful to say this. The intro isn't very long, nor is the conclusion. So I'd like to say, like, for the 60-minute speech, my intro is about five to seven minutes. It's about 10% only of the speech. Conclusion, same thing. So if my original speech is 60 minutes, my intro is going to be 6 minutes. My conclusion is going to be 6 minutes. That's 12 minutes. How much do I have for my the body, the 3 points and supporting info?
48.
Yes, very good. 48. If I have 3 points, how many minutes do I have for each point? 16 minutes, baby. 16, 16, 16. Now I know how much I have to backfill. Do I got a 5-minute story? Do I have a 5-minute introduction of the idea with a 5-minute story and a 5-minute exercise for the group? Maybe. Do they have a worksheet? They have to do an exercise. It's going to take them 3 minutes. Do I have them talk to their partner? That's going to take 4 minutes. Do I open up and give feedback? That's going to take 6 minutes. Like, what am I going to fill my 16 minutes with? Boom. Easy breezy. My intro and my conclusion, it's simply 6 minutes long. At a maximum. It doesn't have to be exactly. So what do I want to say for 6 minutes? It's not a lot of time, by the way. And then the conclusion. Okay? 6 minutes.
Okay.
This is how you chunk out your speech. This is how you organize your speech. And once you're organized, then you learn the intro and the conclusion, and you just follow the outline for the body. Questions about this? Who's got questions?
I don't have questions, Jen, but gosh, you are quite amazing. I think you've already got 5 books in your mind.
I want to take one of your titles and just give it a try. I just love them.
Awesome. You guys, this is magic. This stuff, this is so easy. Like, when people realize, oh, my God, it seriously can be this easy, there's so many talks. And one of the best pieces of advice I can give you is to make sure that your objective isn't so big, like, I want my audience to change their life, right? Make sure it's not so big that you can't appropriately break it down into 3 supporting points, right? And if it is big, divide that up into 3. So, like, was it Debbie who was talking about addiction? So Debbie has, in my opinion, 3 talks. What is addiction? How you can help. These are just what you want your audience to learn, what addiction is, how you can help loved ones in addiction, and how addiction is a gift. I just made that one up. Because that's kind of inspirational, right? So you can start with, like, what is addiction, but then, like, break that down, like, really get different facets of it and make different talks. Do you know what I mean?
I do.
Okay. All right, good. Again, you're not going to have all the answers here, but this is what you get to go back to and fill in. Okay. We were talking a little bit earlier with Brenda about how to keep your talk dynamic so they don't tune out.
Okay.
Very importante. Your people will tune out if you don't find ways to engage them. More and more in today's world, people want to be actively an active part of the presentation. Whether or not they would put it in those words or not, believe me, meeting planners more and more are saying to me, so this will be interactive, won't it? Yes, of course it will. But 8 years ago, I'd say, how interactive would you like this to be? Oh, no. We just need you to come and talk to the group. And now, as of the last 2 or 3 years, because they know it's really hard to keep their attention away from their iPhones, it's, so you will be having, like, some interaction, like the audience will be doing something, right? Yes, of course they will. So it's very important. It's not only important, but it's desirable now. So, different types of audience interaction. you want to, statistically speaking, you want to have your audience doing something every 7 minutes. At the very least, every 7 minutes. And I don't care if that doing something is, raise your hand if you've ever, blah, blah, blah. That's getting the audience to do something. At least every 7 minutes. Of course, you don't want them doing a jig and then sitting down and then standing up and then talking to their partner all in a matter of 5 minutes. But you know what I'm saying? Like, use your intuitive sense and your common sense to really have the audience become an active participant in it. So ask the audience a question. It could be rhetorical, where they just have to think about it, or it can be close-ended, where you get them to say yes or raise their hand or stand up if you've ever. Stand up if you've ever, blah, blah, blah. Sit down if you don't have, blah, if you've ever done that and you don't have, blah, blah, blah. Right? This is getting the audience interacting through a question. Bring audience members up on stage. They love this. Up on stage or front of the room, whatever. I do a word exercise, like that word, you know, choose your words. I bring two brave audience members up on stage, two volunteers, and I give one a set of words to read that are really positive, high-vibrating words, and I give the other some really negative statements to read. And then I make them each read them separately, and the audience decides how they feel, right, the power of those words. Whether they brought them, what emotion they brought. So I have the people, oh, they love this. They love this. It's so moving. So bring audience members up. Do role play. Play games. There's also breaking the audience members out in dyads or triads, in pairs, or in groups of three or four. Have them discuss a question, brainstorm ideas, or share their opinion or their answer to a question with their partner. Okay, that you can do in any moment. Like you give like, so before I tell you what I think words are, how choosing your words can be, I want you to talk to your partner. Just brainstorm a little bit about what you think the power of words can have on your emotional state of mind. Go ahead, I'll give you 3 minutes. Go. Break them out. They love it. They love talking. Let them talk. Even in a keynote, I do this when in a keynote of 1,000 people. I have no problem breaking them out into groups. Into pairs. I wouldn't in groups with a large group, but into pairs and have them talk with their partner, stranger or not. It's excellent. Then you can have group movement to illustrate a point or to move the audience physically. So again, you can have them. I want you to go around and find someone who you don't know and ask them this question. And stand next to them because when I call you back, we're going to talk about this. Stand next to your partner when you're done. And then get them moving. Yeah? Some speakers, I don't do this, but some speakers get up and go, I'm going to play some music. I just want you to dance like crazy. Dance like it's the end of the world. Go. Let's do this. And then they dance. I mean, whatever. I have a girlfriend who does laughter yoga. She gets them all up. Ha, 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 ha. And she gets them laughing. Like, groups love this. I do this activity where they do rock, paper, scissors until, like, they all compete. They all start with a partner, and then they compete until it gets down to two people. It's a really great exercise. So whatever it is, it's like they love it. They just love moving around. But you want to make sure that the activity or the exercise drives the point home. Yeah? But this is what you're filling your 16 minutes with, for example. You might give a handout, and on that handout, they have to fill in blanks or complete written exercises or personal assessments. That's another activity that an audience could do every 7 minutes, something on the handout. And then maybe you open up for a discussion, for debriefing about that. One of my favorite things I'm going to talk about in next week's class is working one-on-one with an audience member with permission to coach them or practice a healing or a muscle memory thing, whatever, tapping, demonstrating, whatever it is that you bring as a professional, do it with an individual. Bring them to the front of the room or do it while they're in their seat. And then, of course, the Q&A session. I would say if you do a Q&A, st- stick it in there before your conclusion. You don't want to end on your Q&A. It's the Q&A and then the scripted conclusion. Why? Because you want to get off that the front of the room or the stage with applause. Right?
Okay.
So you don't get applause after a Q&A. You get applause after you leave them with this really powerful closing. So I'm going to, before I close, I want to just say, are there any questions? I'm going to do like 5 minutes of Q&A. Who's got a question? And then you can answer, and then you go into your closing. So we talked a lot today about how to choose your words, your reactions, and your role to find joy in any given moment, no matter what's going on in your environment. You are now prepared to, right? And then, yay, okay, thank you. Okay? So you're not going to include all of these, but I give you this menu, if you will, so that you can choose one or two that you immediately feel comfortable with and use them as the fillers or the backfill, right, along with anecdotes and stories. I love having an exercise. My audience does an exercise for every one of my 3 points. You can too. Wait, take it back. My first one, words, they do that one word exercise. The choose your reactions, they do the flip, find, freak. Yeah, we do that exercise and how to choose your reactions. And then the victim and victor, they do they don't do an exercise. I just tell stories and have interaction with the audience in terms of their experience with that. So, you know, you do it or, you know, you do it when you want to do it. You do it when it makes sense, but definitely do it. Engage the audience. It's really important.
Gosh.
Okay, you guys, we covered a boatload-o today, a boatload. You guys, we talked about your goals for speaking. We looked at what your ideal audience is and further identified that. You have a series or a menu of different opportunities in your community or nationally or internationally where you might speak. And we talked about how to approach them. Things that you can do to improve your speaking skills, right? The kind of talk that you want to give and maybe a sexy title. And then we broke it down into like the timing, right? How long you want it to be and how many different versions you'll have. And then we gave you an outline so that you can really, really drive the objective home and bring supporting points in. And then finally, we talked about different ways to engage with the audience to keep your talk dynamic. So a lot here, a lot to maybe go back to, but I certainly hope this was helpful. We're at the top of the hour, so it's safe to hang up. We will next week talk about writing a marketable synopsis, getting some real good tools in your toolbox, how to charge, what to charge, different forms and templates that I'll give you, and then how to promote your coaching to enroll clients before, during, and after the talk. Okay?
Thank you, Jane.
All right.
So we'll see
you
so here much. Next week. You're welcome.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
Bye.
Bye. See you next week.
Okay. Bye-bye.